Everybody Can is a conversation about the people and organizations that strengthen our community by volunteering, donating, serving on boards, and simply showing up in micro moments of kindness in Jefferson and Clallam counties. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, tenaciously curious and committed to the notion that connecting and serving others provides a space for one to have a sense of purpose and belonging. Now, I have a question for you listeners. What do you do with a favorite sweater with a tear in the elbow, or a toaster that no longer works, or perhaps a vacuum, a squeaky bike wheel? Well, you bring it to the repair event, and we have two folks from that organization with us today. Mandy Johnson, the Port Townsend Marine Science Center Outreach Coordinator, thank you for joining us today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And you brought with you a volunteer. I'd love for you to introduce them.
Yeah, I have with me Dave Einabuski. He's kind of one of my like superstar volunteers. He's been involved in just about every aspect of this program. And so he's just a rock star volunteer.
And so,
hey there.
Hey,
thanks,
Dave.
For having me.
Thanks for joining us. Now, listeners, you probably just heard Port Townsend Marine Science Center, but I left off a critical title. It's the JEFCO Repair Program.
Mm-hmm.
And Mandy, I'm sure we're all thinking, what does the Marine Science Center have to do with this organization?
And on the surface, it can seem a little like an odd fit, but when you really strip everything down to the bones, it kind of makes sense. The mission of the Marine Science Center is to inspire conservation of the Salish Sea, so we can do that in lots of ways, like our education program. We're having our exhibits open to the public, where people can like learn about just all this really amazing ecosystem right outside our doorsteps. And with the hope that eventually they'll take actions to help protect this environment. And so we also have that responsibility to kind of provide those actionable steps. And so this JEFCO Repair Program is kind of one of those out of the box ways of providing actionable steps. The goal is that we're diverting waste from the landfill through this really awesome concept of repairing those items.
And what I heard from you when we were first talking about this is a really lovely partnership with other nonprofits, and you are kind of the parent organization offering oversight.
Exactly.
But you're not alone in this, which is really cool. And the funding from the Department of Ecology, Washington State, is it for the year? Is it a multi-year, or is it just a beta here?
So yeah, we have a grant funding this program through the Washington State Department of Ecology. It's one of their public participation grants, and it is a two-year grant. In hopes with their goal with this grant program is that we're diverting waste from the landfill and heavily involving the public. And so it's a really nice fit having these repair events. And then we also have a lot of support from the local 2020 group, their Beyond Waste Action Group. They've been heavily involved from the start.
And so JEFCO Repair, you've got this wonderful opportunity for folks to have items that would normally go into the landfill, potentially, to be completely reused by that same person, if you will. But do you have any sense of the statistics of the impact of doing something like that from other locations that have a longer legacy of a fix-it or repair clinic?
So there's lots of ways you can kind of quantify this data. There's the very like basic way of repair groups, where they will quantify their data by using the metric of weight. Like, we've diverted this many pounds of repairable belongings from the landfill, and this many pounds of things are still in use. But it's also, I think, important to relay the idea of it's sometimes things aren't getting fixed, but it's still providing a resource for folks. You know, it's still letting this, you know, that item you've been keeping in your closet forever, hoping that maybe one day you'll get it fixed, you now have answers of like, oh, actually this is not repairable and we cannot do anything about it. Or, oh yeah, you just need to order this part, et cetera, et cetera. This is how you can keep it working well. It's nice to think about, it's not just about like how many pounds we're diverting, but also like the answers and the resource it provides people. When nowadays we don't often have little repair shops that you can take your lamp to down the street.
Yeah, I know that I've used like WikiHow from time to time when I've got a question about replacing something. I think that's a wonderful invitation for folks to even just stop by, because they learn about how, not that physical of doing it, but now they can take that skill set and transfer it. And I think this is a great time to bring in your star volunteer that you mentioned. He's sitting here quietly nodding his head. I'm going, oh, he's got some great ideas. Dave, you're the boots on the ground at the events, along with others as a volunteer. Mandy, I have another question for you, though. About how many volunteers do you have at these events, and about how many people do you typically hope for or expect? You've had one or two now?
Yeah, we've had several, but a handful and handful of other different types of styles of events. So our goal is to have at least about 10 volunteers at each event. We usually have a few that are working on small appliances and electronics, 3 to 4, because that's usually our busiest station. And then it's nice to have about 3 volunteers working with textiles. So whether it's sewing machines or just doing hand sewing or hand mending. And then our goal is to have 1 bike person working on tuning up bikes or cleaning or showing you how to clean up your gears or chain. And then our goal is to have 1 to 2 volunteers helping to do tool sharpening. That's also very popular.
Well, and yeah, care of the tools. Knowing exactly how to use the tools.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That is so cool. So listeners, if you're just joining us, this is Missy Nielsen of Everybody Can, and we are speaking with Mandy Johnson of the Port Townsend Marine Science Center and David Anabuski. And if you've missed part of this episode, do not miss this episode. You need to go and listen to it at our archived location on our website under podcast, kptz.org. We're streaming all the time for you. Now, Dave, let's jump into the nuts and bolts. Did I say that?
Yeah, and wire cutters and other things too.
Okay, so I'm a guest. I've arrived with, I don't know, let's say, a lamp that needs repair. And I'm walking through the door, and what happens first for me?
Well, what happens is that one of the people who are greeting our arriving folks will look and talk to the person about what seems to be wrong. Do they have a lamp or an umbrella or whatever it might be that they've got that broken that needs repairing, so that they can direct the person to someone who's got the appropriate set of skills.
So you triage. Okay.
We triage on the way in. And then mostly I'm sitting behind one of the desks repairing small appliance kinds of things. And it's so much fun to see people come in. And one of the things that we try to do, we try to repair them. And we'll repair them on the spot if the thing is not too broken or we have the appropriate parts on hand or whatever. And oftentimes we'll involve the person who brought the thing in and teach them a little bit about how it's really not that hard to fix a lot of things that are broken, you know?
I saw an episode on a fix-it clinic in Seattle of that nature, and I think empowering them is just that, to me, is what I'd go for.
Absolutely right.
Okay.
It's a super important thing. So we'll work on that. If the repair is too complicated or something, oftentimes we'll volunteer to take it home back to the shop and fix it at home. I've done that for more complicated things very often.
Now, I don't want to dissuade a volunteer recruitment potential by having people assume that the husband has brought home 25 somethings into the garage the partner has said, I need that counter space. How do you manage that, Mandy? I mean, so you do have some things that could be fixed on the spot. I heard that you have a volunteer that's a triage person. You've got your fixer, so to speak. But then if there's something beefier and it is going to the workshop, is it a location at someone's home or a private home or a public location with Marine Science Center?
That's super just kind of optional. We just have some awesome volunteers like Dave who have those heavier set tools at home, and it's purely at their home, and it's optional on their end if they're open to do that. Most things I'd say we're able to handle at the event itself, but there are definitely those oddball things, and if the volunteer is down for it, I'm always okay.
So it strikes me, and I do want to get back to the typical person who's a guest there, but it strikes me that you might have maybe some kind of pre-enrollment so you can gauge the numbers of items and if the item is beyond the scope. Do you have any kind of way that folks reach out to you first?
Not as of now, I just have on the website listed that if you have questions, if this is something that's reasonable or not, to definitely reach out, and I'm happy to kind of triage or answer those questions ahead of time, but we don't have a pre-registration currently.
And Dave, what would you say to a guest? And so they're listening, someone's listening going, oh yeah, I've got that electric knife. What would you want what would be the best practice? What would you want them bringing besides that item?
Well, they don't really need to bring anything besides the item. If they have some idea of what's wrong with it, for example, if the plug is broken off the end, or the cord is broken or something, and they can go to the hardware store and buy the piece. They just don't know how to get it, you know, installed. That's helpful. But we try to bring a lot of the common broken part replacement parts with us. So we have lamp cords and stuff like that that we need that we come across all the time.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe like a manual, if somebody was lucky enough to have a manual around.
Lovely.
Yeah.
It's lovely to have if they can bring the original manual, that's always a helpful thing. Because one of the first things you do as a fixer is you look at the thing and you spend a little time trying to figure out how is it supposed to work? And importantly, does it actually work all the time? You'd be surprised, you know. Sometimes it's some obscure little switch someplace that the owner of it didn't even know was there. And then you flip it, and then, you know, we try to not make them feel bad about that. But it happens.
That happens all the time.
It definitely does.
The minute I lean into somebody else for a little help, it's like, it didn't work when I tried it. So I imagine when you get this item, you're going to pop a label on it if you're keeping it. And, you know, if you do take something home, I get the idea that you've got specific tools, or if there's specialties, you've got particular volunteers like, great, I can take four of these for each. The item has been handed off to you, and then someone calls you, or what kind of turnaround time do you have?
There's not a fixed turnaround time, but of course we don't want to keep stuff for a long period of time. It depends on, sometimes it takes a while to get the replacement part. If we dig into it, and this is getting pretty unusual. I mean, a lot of stuff we just fix on the spot, but some of the more complicated stuff, for example, I've taken things apart and discovered inside what's wrong, and then talked to the owner of the thing by email or something, or phone or whatever, and say, here's the part that we need. Here's how much it costs. Do you want to go ahead with it or not? That sort of thing. And for those, it takes a week or so, but oftentimes it's just a matter of getting it in and pushing on it with the right tools.
Well, I could imagine you have like a bifurcated kind of approach where you've got this diagnostic guide. Here's what you need to do. And then off we go with all those wonderful tools and tips. And then there's this component where it's really fixable. It'll be really fun to see how you grow this offering. And I think, wow, how many hours is the workshop, the drop-in? And it's just a drop-in. Let's give some numbers and locations. Your first one, you've got a whole series, but the first one for this spring is coming up in a month or so, right?
Yeah, it's coming up March 11th, and that one will be here in Port Townsend from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., and we'll hold it at the Blue Heron Middle School cafeteria.
So the best practice, Dave, you love is when someone shows up at the box. What else? The box,
the manual, if it comes with the manual, all of the parts. So, you know, if something fell off, bring the fallen off broken part if you've got it. So all the parts that might help me figure out what's going on with it, then. And that's really what we need.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question that I think I might know the answer to, but what's the craziest thing that someone has brought to be repaired?
One of the really interesting things was that we didn't expect was when this fella brought in a water heater. It wasn't a full-size water heater, but it was a substantial piece of stuff with pipes hanging off of it and stuff like that.
Not the tiny on-demand, no.
Not the tiny, no, it was a tank water heater, but it was not a full-size one, but it was a handful for sure. And yeah, we were not able to fix that on the spot but we were able to diagnose what was wrong with it. And what was wrong with it was a thermostat, and we were able to discover what the part number was and who the manufacturer was. And we said, if you get this replacement, we can probably fix it.
Outstanding. And what are some things you absolutely don't take, Mandy? You don't have any caveats at this point, do you?
As of now, mostly microwaves are still something that we don't mess with because those can be kind of touchy, and we're not really accepting computers, but I'm hoping to, you know, I'm really hoping to find some really techie volunteers that could kind of do some, you know, minimal like repairs.
There is so much potential for this. So JeffcoRepair.com?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And is part of your role to take emails on this in advance if people do have a question in preparation to come with their best? So how would they reach you on this?
Most definitely. You can reach me. My email is mjohnson@ptmsc.org.
Yeah. Dave, the follow-ups for volunteers, you know, I want to hear how you might recruit another volunteer, because this sure sounds like lots of fun.
Yeah. It's lots of fun. If you're a person who enjoys fixing things and taking stuff apart and putting it back together, and there are quite a few of us in town, this is a great opportunity. That the people who bring stuff in and you sit down with them and in 5 minutes you fix something that they've been struggling with for 2 months, they're so grateful for really, really pretty simple repairs. And it's very rewarding as a person to put something back into service, particularly the older things for some of our more senior residents. They really value their old lamps and things that they've had for a long time. They're old friends and they want them to keep going on. You know, come and join us. You'll have a great time. And it's a good group of people. We share tools and we share knowledge. And when we get tangled up with some complicated thing, we'll pull one of the other repairers over. So it's kind of a team effort and it's great fun.
There's definitely a really nice community environment at these events. Like everyone's kind of working together to make things kind of, or come up with really creative solutions for some things that maybe don't have like an immediate answer. It's really fun.
You know, one of the things I read about, you know, what are these events? They are fun community-based workshops where neighbors, friends, and families work collectively to learn how to repair broken items. And what a great way to get to know your community. And you mentioned textiles. So if folks are sewers and would like to jump on and help, yes. Bike repair and tool sharpening, that's super fantastic. Boy, Mandy, I look forward to hearing how this program grows. And Dave, I hope this solicits some great fun stories for our next episode. And
I hope so too.
Jeffco Repair, Mandy Johnson, Dave Anabeski, I think you're the bestest.
Thank you so much for having us on here.
Thanks for joining us today. This is Missy Nielsen, host of Everybody Can. I thank you for taking the time to listen to our program today. It is our hope in sharing these stories we've uplifted and encouraged you to find your own path to belonging. Now go out, get involved, and make it a great day for someone.